Welcome to EMG Transformations with Dan Stoll. Each episode will empower you to ignite your inner fire and provide methods to maximize your mental and physical performance. You never know how one valuable insight can make such a big impact. Please leave a 5-star review if this episode leaves a positive impact on you. And don't be shy to screenshot and share episodes on social media that you find helpful so we can spread the message and make the world a better place. You never know who may need to hear and the impact it has on them too. We're only scratching the surface. There's so much more to learn. Subscribe and stick around to manage stress, improve your health, and create lasting lifestyle changes. Buckle up and get ready to spark your transformation with Nova Fusion.
3, 2, 1, 0. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Welcome to EMG Transformations. Today we're flying high with an elite performer, Rob Trezzi. Rob is known for steering entrepreneurs from robot mode to prime mode, optimizing the well-being and success of driven professionals. As the CEO of TAPS Training, he fuses coaching, nutritional expertise, and exercise science into transformative strategies. His message empowers individuals to elevate their lives, embodying his philosophy of intentional action and holistic growth. With a master's in exercise science and elite certifications, Rob redefines personal and professional fulfillment, guiding clients to peak experiences in life and business. This intro has me pumped up, and you guys are in for a special treat today. Thanks for joining us today, Rob.
Of course, dude. And Dan, thank you so much for giving me the time to come on and share some of my experiences with you and the audience.
Yeah, of course, man. And actually, I want to kick it off with a funny story on how we met, actually, because we were in Toronto Speaker School the day before Speaker School started, or the morning of, and we're doing these content walkings outside, just warming up a little bit before we dive into the heavy trainings. And, you know, I never met you for the first time. This is my first time at something like this, and I don't really know what to do, but you ended up helping me out, getting warmed up with just doing a little interview. We ended up doing that for like 5 to 7 minutes, and I felt pretty good afterwards. And then I'm like, you want me to get some content of you? Like, I'm trying to like just help out and do you a favor. And you're like, no, I'm good right now. And I was like, okay. Little did I know, you're like this speaker school vet who's been doing this for like 4 or 5 times now. So like, you already had that in the bag, and I thought you were just a beginner like me. So to see you like give your speech later that day and just meeting you and seeing like all the growth that you've had from all this, I was like, wow, like I was in good hands from the start. So I thought that was awesome, and glad that we, you know, developed this friendship and are continuing to, you know, just stay connected.
Yeah, of course, dude. And yeah, I mean, I've been speaking now for a little while, but I'm far from perfect. So I know anybody else who's beginning their journey, content, getting somebody to help film, ask questions, make you a little more comfortable in front of the camera or on stage, however you can. I know I want to be somebody who can help with that. So I saw you getting ready, getting amped, and I wanted to do whatever I could possible to make sure that you were kind of onboarding yourself into a comfortable spot.
Yeah, no, it was exactly what I needed at that time. So I appreciate it. And yeah, now I want to get more into your story and, you know, learn more about you as well, because I know you as this personal trainer, strength conditioning, but I want to know more of Rob in this conversation. So let's start it off with, you know, your backstory and some of those experiences and struggles that shaped you into who you are and, you know, the path that you're walking today.
Well, I guess it kind of depends on how far back you want to start with things.
Let's just start with childhood, like whatever sticks out there, and then we can just go into it.
Cool. Yeah. So I don't know if you know this, but I recently shared on stage at a different event that parents got divorced when I was pretty young. And that kind of age where you're in the young, early stages of school. So elementary school, second grade, first grade kind of thing. Because my parents got divorced, I ended up moving across state to a totally different area. New people, don't know anything. I kind of was this little like dweeby video game kind of kid who really kept to myself. I wasn't very active, didn't really have too many friends. And then on top of changing school districts every couple of years, made it very difficult to make and maintain these friendships with other kids. So eventually we finally rooted into one spot that we called home, small town upstate New York, and not really much going on except for like apple trees, apple farms, and like cows. It's like pretty much what I remember. And it wasn't until first day of like third grade, I'm walking in, and this little redheaded, spiky haired kid named Sean Caswell sits next to me. And we like immediately hit it off as friends, playing like Pokemon and video games and things like that. And his dad actually ended up being one of the Pop Warner youth football coaches. So as I developed this friendship with Sean, I started hanging out with him at his house. And then his dad actually got me to sign up for football. And I had no idea what was going on. So I showed up to practice first day wearing jeans, and you can't play football in jeans. So I'm totally embarrassed. I don't know what's going on. I can't do warm up laps, the push ups. I'm like totally out of shape. I have no idea how to play football or anything. But I did notice that some of the popular kids, they were like leading the warm ups. They were running the laps, and they seemed to be totally unfazed by the push ups and the sprints and everything. And that really clicked in my head on how I needed to focus on my fitness and make sure that I need to do something with my health. And I couldn't do anything, like I said, like I was totally out of shape. But what I was able to do was I was able to memorize the warm up in practice. And from there, I would start trying to do the warm up at home, like the jumping jacks and small things like that. And that really got me started with fitness. And fitness was kind of like the gateway drug for personal development for me. So from there, just launched into a lot of other things. So as I got in better shape, I started to play a little bit more. Playing a little bit more led to making more friends on the team. More friends on the team led to a little bit of popularity in school. Next thing you know, I got a bunch of birthday parties I'm invited to, but my mom said, can't go to any birthday parties unless you get your grades and homework done. So then that introduced me into, okay, I better study and make sure that I'm paying attention to my schoolwork if I want to hang out with my friends. And then that led me into so on and down the road and so much further. So really the fitness going from that little dweeby Rob is what I like to call to playing sports and really taking my health and fitness seriously.
Yeah, and I can relate with you on growing up early and just having a troubled home because that's what it was like for me with an alcoholic father. And for me, basketball actually became my outlet from all of just the chaos going on at home. So I'm curious, was football and sports your outlet at the time?
Oh, 100%. So because my dad was 3, 4 hours away by car, my mom was constantly working. I had a younger sister, but we're just far enough in age where we weren't really close and it was difficult for us to have a relationship. So my friends and teammates, they really became my family. So I really became close with my friend Sean. I became really close with my friend Mike, Justin, another kid named Mike, and it really became my second family. So I ended up spending a lot of time with them and just as much as I could.
Yeah, and then from there, like going into college, I'm pretty sure you were playing college football at the time too. How did that all, transcribe, and what was your experience like, in those early stages?
Yeah, so as before I even got to college though, so playing sports, youth sports, modified middle school, and then on to high school. I just kind of kept pushing, pushing, pushing. The more that I would exercise and get in better shape, the better I would start to play. Eventually, I found myself as the 4-year varsity captain on the wrestling team, football team, helped the team go to a section championship, which we won and moved on, and we went to the state tournament. And then in lacrosse, I was a captain of the varsity team junior and senior year. So this fitness really instilled the leadership. Brought in that community of the team. So then when I got to college, playing college football it was still fun, but I lacked that community of my comrades really. So there was a team there, but it took me a little while to get myself into that. And because of the work and the workload, because I was working football work and then actual like real work, school work too, it became overwhelming. So I ended up retiring from football, transitioned over to rugby, much more relaxed, connected with people right off the bat coming in as a new guy. And then that became like the new community for me. And then studying exercise science gave me a way to stay in the gym with athletes. So once I graduated, I still had a way of creating my own family within the gym. So being with the other teams, being with the other athletes, being able to connect and work together towards a common goal. Although I'm not working towards a championship or whatever it might be with the team, now I'm helping them build themselves better so that they can go on and build and win a championship. So it all comes back to that like team family that I was kind of longing as I was growing up.
Yeah, and that's I really feel that too with basketball. It becomes like a
Yeah.
brotherhood. And so it sounds like in high school even, like you really got involved in all types of sports. It wasn't just football at the time. I was thinking it was more football focused, but you were just doing a little bit of everything. And I feel like I know for me in my life that sports really developed this strong foundation for me that it shows me how to embrace failure and just it develops my mindset for everything that I do today. And so I'm curious, is that sports mindset, what has been the biggest, benefit for you in terms of like what you're doing now and just the future things in your adult life that, those early lessons taught you?
Yeah, so I love that because fitness is easy to kind of get involved and get rolling, and sports very, very close with it. And when you challenge yourself, you start to develop the three C's of challenge. What I've been calling is your confidence. So your ability to think that you're able to complete and accomplish something, your competence, your actual ability to complete or accomplish something. And the third one is creativity. Because once you start to develop that creativity, if you don't elevate your challenge to the next level, it becomes the same thing and you don't get traction. You're not going to be able to grow. Perfect example of this is, I don't know, were you watching the Super Bowl the other day? So as soon as they won, they're already talking about a three-peat. So no team has ever done a three-peat, three Super Bowls in a row. So now they have the confidence because they came in. They have the competence because they know they can do it because they're stronger and they're putting it hard and now they're creative thinking to the next level. So that's elevating them. And just like in business, you need to have those three C's because that's what's going to help your business scale and grow and continue to have success and help people by making that great impact.
I love that. And all those things are something that, we can all like we all have and we can all apply those. It's just a matter of choosing it and the effort going into it. But that's something that, we look at these great performers, like these Super Bowl champions, they got the three C's, but it's like I got the three C's too. You guys listening, you guys got the three C's. We can all incorporate the three C's. So that's what I really love about that is it's really applicable for anyone out there listening. And another piece going into more of this performance conversation is how much of performance is mental? Because I'm just thinking about those three C's and it's like that's almost all mental right there is like putting in the effort. So where would you say this mental side is for you and your performance?
I mean, it is very crucial because you can't you, you can you'll come across people who definitely have the physical competency to accomplish something, but if they don't have their mind in it, they're not going to get it done. It's kind of like the elephant. How the elephant, they train it, they tie it to like a chair or something very small or a stick. The elephant's massive and it could easily break the rope and stampede off, but because it's been trained that it's stuck to this small rope and attached to this little tiny stick on the floor, the elephant, his mind is stuck in there and it's not going to go anywhere else. So the same thing with business and personal development. You got to bring your mind to the next level if you're looking to take the next step up.
Yeah, always. And that's been the real big shift for me lately is just elevating how I'm thinking, and that's getting me new results. And it's just these new thoughts that are really being the catalyst of that. It's just why not think bigger? Like why am I holding myself back? Is this the life that I want, or do I want something bigger? And it's like, okay, I do want something bigger. Now go after it and go take it. That's something we can all do. And so I love that you mentioned that. And I'm curious, or were you going to mention something?
Yeah, I was going to say, and that's good because right there, that's your the creativity seed. So now you're starting to think, I want bigger. Now that you have the confidence and you have the competency of being able to accomplish these things, now you're thinking a little bit to the next level. Sometimes people get stuck and they're like, oh, I don't know how to grow or think to the next level. Start doing some challenging things, like get on stage, take some cold showers, do like push yourself out of your comfort zone, because once that gets rolling, it's like a snowball. It's like a snowflake. One snowflake, it's gonna land on you, it's gonna melt. But you stick 10 of those together, it's gonna form a snowball. You keep sticking more on, it's gonna grow into an avalanche. And eventually it's unstoppable. You can't stop an avalanche.
Oh, no, that's so good. And that's what we can all become with the consistent effort and compounding it. So another
Oh
great point
yeah.
there. I'm curious to hear, what are some of your ways to increase your mental edge, or that mental productivity, or just your overall productivity? What are some things that you do in your life to just stay optimized in that sense?
Yeah, so I rely, I know we were talking a minute ago about technology and AI and things like that. That's an easy tool. Anywhere you can find software that helps to keep things optimized. But again, optimizing everything in your life can only go so far. You still need to make sure that you're pushing yourself. So making sure that I am challenging myself, at least on a daily basis, or at least on a weekly basis, but I'm trying to constantly push myself, my comfort zone, any way possible. Then also, you need to also make sure that you allow yourself enough time to rest and reflect on what's happening. So you went through uncomfortable action. Was it successful? Was it a failure? What can you learn from it? You need to have that downtime to also reflect and move forward. Think of like one step back, two steps forward. Because when you allow yourself the brain to kind of think and you give yourself that freedom to just chill out and reflect, that's where you can, okay, now I might need to change this around, or maybe I should do this a little bit differently next time. And then you pair in the automation of the different tools and software that you're using, things just start to elevate.
Yeah, that's really good. And I was wondering, journaling, is that like a component of your life then?
Oh yeah, I gratitude journal every morning.
Yeah.
And I thought it was difficult in the beginning. And I set the three things that I'm grateful for. And some days it can feel like it's difficult to think of things, and then other days it's super simple. And I thought there was a right and a wrong way to doing this kind of journaling thing. And I was like, oh, if I don't get three things down, I'm a failure and this thing's gonna be bad. But it's my own practice, so no one's grading it. I'm doing it for myself. I'm doing it to reflect on things that I enjoy or and that I'm grateful for. And that really helps shift my brain into that more positive state. Are you familiar with the RAS, or the reticular activating system in the brain?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's whatever you see, that's what you're going to see more of. Whatever you focus on, you're going to see more of that. So if I constantly am reminding myself of all the great things I have in my life, all these great things continue to happen. For the longest time, a lot of my friends would consider me one of the most luckiest people in the world, because it seems like I get like special treatment from here and there. It's like the luckiest things in the world just so happen to happen for Rob all the time. And maybe that's true, or maybe I just really celebrate all the great stuff that does happen. And I ticked in a lot of bad things definitely do happen too, but you take those and you try to spin it, just as we were saying before, like shift your perspective and it shapes your reality. So when things don't go the way that it necessarily might you want it to go, look for the silver lining and see how you can benefit from it still.
This is so good. This is why I wanted to have you on. Experiences plus mindset equals growth. That's exactly what we're talking about here.
So I'll tell you a quick story about that whole perspective shift. So last year I was doing a step challenge for a lot of my clients and just bringing awareness about how beneficial it can be to just get a couple extra steps in your day. And I was traveling down to Atlanta actually, and I was kind of bummed out because I didn't think I was going to be able to get all my steps in. And leading the challenge, I want to make sure that I'm being a good role model and getting a lot of steps in. So I get down there super late Friday night, and they don't have a rental car for me. So I'm like, great. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm Uber there. It's like 45 minutes away. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. Uber driver ended up being great. connected with her. Great story. I invited her on my podcast. Haven't gotten back from her yet, though, but hopefully I will soon. But she was just a great person to connect with. And then the next morning, I'm like, all right, let me go downstairs, eat some breakfast, and let me call in to get to the location for the speaking event. Go downstairs, I'm having some fruit, some cereal, just nice, easy breakfast, some eggs. Calling an Uber, there's not a single Uber around. I'm in like the middle of nowhere. So I'm like, oh, geez. And I look and I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing is a 45-minute walk. I have to be there by 8. It's 7:15. So I grab an extra banana. I'm like, all right, I'm walking there. So I'm like dressed up, ready to present. I got my backpack. I'm booking it through these like backwoods of this place. I have no idea where I'm going. I'm trying to follow my map on like Google Maps. I'm cutting through backyards. I'm like terrified that I'm gonna get like shot or arrested or something. I'm all sweaty and everything. I get there just at time. I'm like 8:05, just a few minutes late, sweaty, gross, but I got my steps in. So now I'm like, I got my steps in. I made a great connection with the Uber driver. And now I have a story to share with everybody here at this speaking event. And because of that, sharing that story and that thing there, I got to connect with two other people who were in the same hotel as me. And they're like, hey, man, got a rental car. We can just drive you back so you can shower and things like that. And you just make you, just that little bit of thing of like, oh, and I got to walk, I got to do all this stuff. It turned into being such a great positive experience for me.
Yeah, and a lot of people, they would hit those roadblocks and they would crumble a little bit. They would make that phone call, "Hey, I'm not going to be able to make the speaking today. The Uber's not here. Like I can't get there." You got to
I
find a way.
thought about it too.
Yeah,
I was
exactly.
like, maybe I'll just hang out in the hotel all day today or something. I don't know.
Yeah,
So.
but you did it. You stuck through and that can a piece of that can come from the sports mentality, like we said earlier, because in sports, we're always, coming up with failures. We're always making mistakes, but then we learn from them. Then we keep on pushing forward. And even when those mistakes come, we find ways to navigate through them. And so when life strikes with something that is, unexpected, unfortunate, we got to find a way. That mentality is still there, and we can still course correct, and we can still find a way to get to that outcome that we desire.
Oh yeah, man, I love that. Great. Well said, man. Well said, Dan.
Yeah, I love the dynamic here. So, another component of performance is setting goals. And I've heard you talked about the difference between setting process goals versus outcome goals. So, I'd love for you to just talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, sure. So a lot of times when people think about goals, they set these goals and then they set an outcome goal, which is a reflection of the process goals. So, but because people set these outcome goals, they're like, oh, I want to lose 50 pounds, or I want to make $1 million, whatever it might be. That's an outcome goal. So that's an outcome of something else that you're doing. So when you said, I want to lose 50 pounds, what are the steps you're doing to get there? Oh, okay, I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to exercise more. Okay. Well, how much more? What does eating healthier look like? What can you define that? And then like, okay, I'm gonna make sure that I have a protein shake every day. And I'm going to make sure that I save $20 every day, whatever it might be. Those smaller actionable items, those are your process goals. So at the end of the day, your goal is, my goal is to drink a protein shake. And if I do this daily, hit that goal on a daily basis, it'll lead to my outcome goal, which might be losing the weight or building muscle or whatever it might be. Just like looking to make $1 million. If I start off by saving and investing my money, my process goal might be to invest like $150 every week or whatever it might be to work towards that outcome goal. Because you can't just flip the switch and do an outcome goal and create that the next day. You have to follow the process in order to get there.
Yeah, so it sounds like because I phrased it as like they're separate, but now that I'm hearing you talk about it, it's more that those process goals really support the outcome goals.
Yes, that's how to get there. I mean, you could have an outcome goal of losing 50 pounds, and then your process goal be to have a protein shake with like a jar of peanut butter and wash it down with like a bunch of other stuff where the calories are high, and you'll never get to your outcome goal if they're not aligned. But so you got to make sure that they work together.
Yeah, no, that's so good. And something like, because I'm setting goals, and I feel like historically they've all been like more outcome goals. And now I'm starting to learn that, okay, like what are the standards and habits that I need to put in place, the process to get to those goals. And so I'll have like a big goal, and then I'll break it down into 3 to 5 tasks that I have to hit. And those are my daily standards, or these are big milestones that I need to hit throughout the quarter. And so it's just this evolution in a sense, rather than here's the goal, we're just gonna hit that goal. Don't really know how, but that's the goal. We're just gonna shoot for that this year. So that's when you don't have the plan in place, and then it kind of falls through. But when you put the process in place with the plan, that's where you can start seeing those results in your life.
Yeah. So many people are like, oh, I want to make X amount of money in my business. And I'm like, okay, so that's great outcome goal. What's the process goal? And they're like, okay, I just need to get 10 new clients. Okay. They're like, yeah, all I got to do is just get 10 new clients. Okay, well, what are you doing? Are you going to get the clients? Oh, I'm going to do this, do that. Okay, so let's focus on the things that it take you to get to those clients. Let's focus on what it takes to get one client and then just multiply that by 10.
Yeah, it's a smart way to do it. Awesome. So I wanted to you got two things here that I wanted to mention. First, another one of these things that I heard on another podcast as I'm doing my preparation is you had a meal and a menu builder. And so I wanted to just talk about how you use that in your life and kind of almost systemize your life based on those menus.
Yeah, so it can be usually when we're talking about the meals and media builder, menu builder, it's either I'm talking about nutrition. So it's either going to be dietary nutrition or digital nutrition. So since we were talking a little bit about mindset and such earlier, let's take like your digital nutrition. So that's going to be everything that you consume digitally or content-wise that's going to impact how you think and how you react and how you can control your mindset. So if you're somebody who I ask you, hey, what are the different types of things that you're consuming in the digital or content world? You're like, oh, I watch some TV here and there. I listen to the radio in the car. Every once in a while, I'll watch some TikTok or whatever it might be. So then we're like, okay, that's pretty vague. Let's sit down. Let's just like if you're doing nutrition, let's kind of write out like a meal plan. Let's see what we're actually doing. Then we look and we're like, okay, in our commute every day, we're listening to the radio, which whatever top hits are on or whatever. Then you get to work, you're busy working all day, and or you're scrolling Instagram when you're supposed to be working. So that's extra content that you're consuming. You come home, you watch Netflix. All right, so that's a lot of entertainment and chilling out on your menu. Think of it like your macros. Say it's all carbohydrates or sugars or whatever. We need to start sprinkling in some more protein, some more healthy fats, and things like that. So what this might look like is maybe an Audible book here or there, maybe some kind of a course or some motivational content, something that's going to help you. Because if you're in this reactive state all the time and all you're consuming is this high energy, exciting stuff, but we don't have any motivational or educational things, your diet's going to be skewed one way. So then it's like, okay, what do we want to get to? Where do we want our mindset and our thought process to kind of be? Is it, do you want to learn more about starting a business? Is it, you want to learn more about your health? Is it whatever it might be? How can we start to sprinkle in some of that content so that we can start to get our brain thinking in that direction? And using the menu builders is how it's like that. It's like, okay, what are we going to have for breakfast? What are we going to have for lunch? What are we going to have for dinner in terms of content? And that can help kind of get going.
That's really good, and something that I'm gonna start putting into practice, because I'm really big on like role models and mentors, as you are as well. And you can just have fill in your mentors or your role models for that menu. So if I want this type of goal in my life, who already has it? And then just put them on the menu and start studying their content, reverse engineering it, making it your own a little bit, tweaking it to what you offer, and then you can just become great. And so actually, one of the poems that really changed my life was from Brandon Gedoras, mutual friend that introduced us. And He had a big impact on my life with his Becoming Great poem. I thought I was good until I saw great. It was then when I understood what achieving my dreams would take. And I just really adopt that mindset and almost like a playbook. I've heard you mention that. And it's just like, I wanna get to this place. So who's already doing it? And so having the menu, it's like, well, let me just take their menu or let me just take what they're doing. And so that's just an easy way for anyone out there listening. Maybe you want to perform a little bit more like Rob over here, start applying some of his techniques that he's using, and then you can get some similar results. So I really just like that concept, and it really simplifies things because when we go to the gym or when we start eating healthy, it's like I don't even know where to start. But if you got a simplified menu that gives you proven results, you just go pick from the menu and you're good.
Yeah. And another great aspect of the menu is it does help narrow things down because there is so many different ways and directions to start. It's kind of like going to a Cheesecake Factory and there's like page after page after page of different food items that you can choose from. And if you have all these different options, you kind of get stuck not making a decision. So if you minimize it down, you ever go to a super fancy restaurant, it's like, okay, you can either have the steak or the fish, the salad or the soup. You pick one and then that's all you get. So it's like, okay, let's minimize this down. I go into the restaurant, they give me the choices. Let's create the choices that I want to make. And then boom, you have your own menu. You want to make sure though, you do want to have some of your fun stuff in there because if you go too far and you just do hammer all like educational or all motivational stuff, it's the same thing. It's too much of a good thing and it's not going to help you get where you're going to go because that's where you're going to start to burn out. And if you burn out from all this, you're back to the beginning and we're in a worse place. So making sure that it's consuming consciously.
Yeah, that's a great point. What are some of the fun things that you put on your menu then?
So for like the digital nutrition or for
Yeah,
like my actual diet?
digital.
Okay. So recently, Victoria, my girlfriend, and I, we've been watching Below Deck on Bravo. Have you ever seen that?
No, I haven't, but I might have to check it out now.
Oh, it's crazy. It's about the staff and they're doing the like super wealthy yachts. So like they're working the yacht while all these rich people come on and enjoy their vacation. And it's kind of like a reality show. So it's
Okay.
great to turn on, to just turn off the brain, especially when I've got a lot of different events and things going on. It gives me that opportunity to kind of take a breather from the work world.
Yeah, we all need that digital detox sometimes or just to refresh our head. For me, I like just going out in nature when I can. It's starting to warm up here in Michigan, but still a bit cold. But that sunshine, we'll take it every time we can get it.
Oh yeah, need more of it.
Yeah, definitely. So I want to transition here into nutrition as we start to wrap things up over here. I know that every body is different. So, you know, what may work for me may not work for you and vice versa. So I'm just curious, what are some of your nutritional insights that you've learned over the years with your clients and even with yourself that we can all generally benefit from?
This might sound like a broken record, but that just awareness, what are you constantly eating? Like if you find yourself having certain issues, what is it you've been eating and how much are you eating of it? It doesn't have to be like weighing everything out, like getting crazy for a bodybuilding competition, but just bringing awareness to what you're consuming will make huge changes for you. So like just paying attention, like, hey, am I getting enough vegetables? Am I getting enough protein sources? Am I eating the right things or am I just defaulting to a reactive state and just eating whatever's available? Having a plan, kind of focusing like, okay, these are the things that I enjoy eating. These are the things that I should probably be eating more of. Is there a way that I can blend this together? So when I go to the grocery store, I'm getting a little bit of everything to make the results that I'm looking for.
Yeah, conscious eating has really been a big factor in my life with Crohn's disease, and I've had to flip my diet multiple times now, and it really is just like being aware and finding what works best for you and then either sticking to that or sticking to things that are similar to that and just having that in place and knowing what works for you. That's been so beneficial for me. And now it's not like I'm guessing or in this constant trial and error like I used to be in. And so that is one thing for me that has really shifted my perspective and just changed my life in the nutrition aspect. And something else that I say is that food is fuel. And so that's just this new idea that I'm just adopting now. It's like, am I eating because it tastes good, or am I eating to fuel my body and give myself the nutrients I need and the energy I need to perform? And so when I think about it that way, it's like, okay, I'm gonna go make a smoothie instead of going and eating, some protein bar or something. Like, I just want it to be even more better. Not that a protein bar is always bad, but if you're constantly eating those, that's where it can get bad. So being able to mix them up and not always go for that convenience, because that's what it is nowadays. It's just convenient. It's not good for you, but it tastes great, and we can just keep on moving forward. But that always catches up somewhere down the line.
Yeah, and kind of having that plan in place helps a lot too, because people who are dieting, trying to lose weight, they often get anxiety around events and birthday parties because there's going to be cake and alcohol and different things like that. And yeah, certain items might not align with your goals to help you get to where you want to get to. But at the same time, you still got to live your life. You got to be able to enjoy birthday cake with your kids. You got to be able to have a few drinks to celebrate your friend's promotion or whatever. The idea, though, is having a plan, going into it under your terms and your conditions. Like going in, and yeah, it's okay to have a drink if you want to. It's okay to have a little bit of cake. That doesn't mean have half the cake. That just means have a little piece. Like taste it, enjoy it, be part of the party, live your life, but have a plan with it.
Yeah, and be intentional with what you're doing as well. So
Yeah.
they're great points. Before we start wrapping it up here, I got two more questions. And coming back to the mentors and how those have impacted your life, I know you're good friends with Brandon Godoris, a good mentor of mine. And so we both know there's power in proximity. I'm curious, who are a couple of your mentors that have really impacted the trajectory of your life?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've certainly had my fair share of coaching. I've been a part of a lot of different coaching programs, and some were with some big name mentors of mine that I was really like starstruck to be connected with, and I thought that it was really going to help elevate. And more often than not, they ended up not playing out to the role that was best fit for me and my business and where I'm at currently in life. Nothing against them, but a little bit of that trial and error process. And some great mentors that I am currently and continue to still work with certainly is my friend Brandon, a good friend of mine, Brett Bartholomew over at Art of Coaching. My buddy Sean's dad that I mentioned, who got me into the football, Coach Caswell. He's a big role model, mentor, person I can always contact. And this is a little weird, but I'm going to say like my friends. So like my good friends, because they motivate me to push and grow and continue to strive for better things. And they also help support. And that's exactly what I want to do too. I want to be able to support and provide whatever I can to help other people out with their programs and things. Like you said earlier, I'm a veteran of the speaker school. I've certainly joined, like signed up for Brandon's pretty much anytime I have the opportunity to, because I want to make sure that I'm also giving back, because I know my friends are also giving back to me, helping me out. So Brett, Brandon, you, Dan, I got everybody around me. It's all about that proximity and surrounding yourself with the positive people. And it takes a little trial and error, but once you know who you are, where you want to go, then you can start to attract those around you, because your uniqueness is magnetic. So once you lean into that, start to attract more of what you need in your life to get you moving forward.
That's so good. And it truly does come down to the people that we surround ourselves with. And it sounds like you have a great community around you that's constantly uplifting you and is there when you need that support, and vice versa, you're giving back. And it's just this tidal wave that just rises everybody up. So that's what we all need in our lives. So if anyone's out there just like, oh, I don't have that group, like just reach out to me or Rob and we can point you in the right direction, show invite or introduce you to some people and just get that ball rolling. So we're always here to support. And one last question before we wrap things up here is, what's been the greatest lesson or piece of advice received that has made the biggest impact on you?
Probably be something, a little bit of a combination of different things that my dad had told me. He, when I was younger, I was always trying to run, go, 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 go. I think I shared when we were in Toronto about how I was working zillion hours, really just burning myself down. And he would always tell me to just like slow down, calm down, chill out, like relax. And I never really took that because I always thought it was preventing me from getting to where I wanted to go to. And yeah, if you take it to the extreme where you're not taking enough action, it can prevent you from going somewhere. But I feel like too many people are flying through life at speeds that are unhealthy. And I think if you were to just slow down, reflect, and look at where you're at, take care of yourself, take care of the people around you, and just keep taking one step forward, you're going to get to where you're going to go. You're going to get around people who are going to help pull you forward. So you don't have to just run ahead by yourself all the time. Like you'll get around other people who will help you get there faster. So slow down, focus on yourself, make sure that you're taking care of yourself and everyone around you, and I think you'll get there.
Yeah, man, that's great advice and something that I feel like today's world is just always speeding up. So it's almost refreshing to hear someone to say, hey, slow down, focus on what matters, and then just keep on doing that and be you. So appreciate your wisdom that you're sharing with us today. And before we wrap this up, let us know how we can support you and anything that you have going on in your life or your business or something that you're looking forward to so we can get involved.
Yeah, oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. Coaching programs always got that going on. So, always looking for more events, getting together with a team to try to challenge ourselves through the year. So, you'll see a lot of things that I got coming up this year. And then, speaking too, I'm trying to get on as many stages as possible, really share some of my experiences, and make sure that connect with as many people as possible. So, whatever you got going on, if you have any questions or just need someone to chat with, shoot me a message. Always open. I answer pretty quickly. And I'm just here to see if I can help you grow a little bit faster.
Awesome, man. We appreciate you today. Rob, thank you so much for tapping in and sharing your prime time secrets with us today. You gave us some powerful tools to optimize our performance, and I can't wait to hear how our listeners are implementing those in their lives. You lead by example, and the world is a brighter and better place because of you. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and the lessons with us, and I'm so excited to continue growing together.
Oh, thank you so much, Dan.
Are you ready to take charge of your health and transform your life? Well, get ready because we have the solution for you. Introducing the NovaFusion 21-Day Wellness and Resilience Challenge, the ultimate program designed to stack massive momentum, achieve peak performance, and spark your transformation. In just 21 days, you can experience a total wellness revolution. Our challenge is jam-packed with daily inspiration, education, downloadable resources, and exciting challenges to keep you fired up and on track. But that's not all. When you join the challenge, you'll also become a member of our exclusive NovaFusion family. Together, we'll support and uplift one another as we continue to grow and thrive. Unlock the secrets of the world's best wellness and resilience practices to stay mentally and physically fit for a lifetime. From renewing healing practices to transformative high-performance techniques, we've got you covered. And here's something that sets us apart. I believe in these practices so much that I'm offering a money-back guarantee. That's right, if you don't see results, you can get your money back, so you have absolutely nothing to lose, but everything to gain. So what are you waiting for? Take advantage of this limited time opportunity right now. Go to novafusion.co/challenge to sign up and embark on the journey of a lifetime. Let's spark your transformation together. I can't wait to see you on the other side.